"Are you a drinking man?" was the first question he asked a job applicant, and even though the fellow gave a negative answer, he still must sign a work contract containing a clause that declared the agreement instantly void if the employee should be discovered harboring alcohol. A friend, an old pioneer rancher, Mr. Lynn Russell, had once told him, "You've got no mercy." "I swear, Herb, if you caught a hired man drinking, out he'd go. And you wouldn't care if his family was starving." It was perhaps the only criticism ever made of Mr. Clutter as an employer. Otherwise, he was known for his equanimity, his charitableness, and the fact that he paid good wages and distributed frequent bonuses. The men who worked for him, and there were sometimes as many as 18, had small reason to complain. After drinking the glass of milk and putting on a fleece-lined cap, Mr. Clutter carried his apple with him when he went outdoors to examine the morning. It was ideal apple-eating weather. The whitest sunlight descended from the purest sky, and an easterly wind rustled, without ripping loose, the last of the leaves on the Chinese elms. Autumn's reward western Kansas for the evils that the remaining seasons impose. Winter's rough Colorado winds and hip-high, sheep-slaughtering snows. The slushes and the strange land fogs of spring. And summer, when even crows seek the puny shade and the tawny infinitude of wheat stalks bristle, blaze. At last, after September, another weather arrives. An Indian summer that occasionally endures until Christmas. As Mr. Clutter contemplated this superior specimen of the season, he was joined by a part collie mongrel, and together they ambled off toward the livestock corral, which was adjacent to one of three barns on the premises. One of these barns was a mammoth Quonset hut. It brimmed with grain, Westland sorghum, and one of them housed a dark, pungent hill of milo grain worth considerable money, $100,000. That figure alone represented an almost 4,000% advance over Mr. Clutter's entire income in 1934, the year he married Bonnie Fox and moved with her from their hometown of Roselle, Kansas, to Garden City, where he had found work as an assistant to the Finney County Agricultural Agent. Typically, it took him just 7 months to be promoted. That is, to install himself in the head man's job. The years during which he held the post, 1935 to 1939, encompassed the dustiest, the down-and-outest the region had known since white men settled there, and young Herb Clutter, having as he did a brain expertly racing with the newest in streamlined agricultural practices, was quite qualified to serve as middleman between the government and the despondent farm ranchers. These men could well use the optimism and the educated instruction of a likable young fellow who seemed to know his business. All the same, he was not doing what he wanted to do. The son of a farmer, he had from the beginning aimed at operating a property of his own. Facing up to it, he resigned as county agent after 4 years and, on land leased with borrowed money, created, in embryo, River Valley Farm. A name justified by the Arkansas River's meandering presence, but not certainly by any evidence of valley. It was an endeavor that several Finney County conservatives watched with show-us amusement. Old-timers who had been fond of baiting the youthful county agent on the subject of his university notions. "That's fine, Herb. You always know what's best to do on the other fella's land. Plant this, terrace that. But you might say a sight different if the place was your own." They were mistaken. The upstart's experiments succeeded, partly because, in the beginning years, he labored 18 hours a day. Setbacks occurred. Twice the wheat crop failed, and one winter he lost several hundred head of sheep in a blizzard. But after a decade, Mr. Clutter's domain consisted of over 800 acres owned outright and 3,000 more worked on a rental basis. And that, as his colleagues admitted, was a pretty good spread. Wheat, milo seed, certified grass seed, these were the crops the farm's prosperity depended upon. Animals were also important, sheep, and especially cattle. A herd of several hundred Hereford bore the Clutter brand, though one would not have suspected it from the scant contents of the livestock corral, which was reserved for ailing steers, a few milking cows, Nancy's cats, and Babe, the family favorite. An old, fat workhorse who never objected to lumbering about with three and four children astride her broad back.